Good morning, Mike. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Really looking forward to that show tomorrow.
Yeah.
That is going to be so cool and so special. And we had a call about it today, and it's my understanding that we're going to have bonus time with Dorless tomorrow. So you and him can sort out all this Husky stuff.
Maybe we can get Penix in there, and he could be a part of it, too.
Maybe, you know what?
We'll just let them sort it out.
By the way, I'm not joking about that. You are going to get some added time with Dorless.
Oh, good. So, good. We'll talk about the number one team in the nation, and the Oregon Ducks, and Brandon Dorless.
Well, I
look forward to that.
We don't got
to
bring that up.
Let's just bring up the fact that the last three times he played the Huskies, he lost all those games.
Yeah, you guys in here during the break are asking me if I'm nervous about this week. I'm nervous about next week when the Huskies come in for the whiteout game.
Come on, man.
No. I'm serious.
Like,
it's an active disrespect.
I had to take crap off Abe all week last week, and then they backed it up.
First of all, Indiana did not look incredibly sharp against UW. I thought Washington played very well, but I'm being totally serious. When you anoint a team as your homecoming or whiteout opponent, that is a slap in the face. Wisconsin made Penn State their homecoming opponent. How'd that work out for them?
Not very good.
Why do you do that?
I don't know.
Make Minnesota your homecoming opponent or Purdue. Penn State, they're pretty good.
Washington,
defending national runners-up. A little disrespectful to make them the whiteout opponent. So I'm very nervous for that game.
I think it's going to work out pretty good for you. I think it's going to be
We'll be coming off a loss. So, you know, we all know how Coach Hot Sauce does after a loss. It's not very good.
Nobody enjoys it less than Mike.
Stress ball.
Penn State has game day this weekend. Ohio State is coming to town.
Yeah.
We were just talking about Drew Aller and his leg and whether or not he'll play and all that. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's huge. They're undefeated. No, they're number three in the country. It's going to be an awesome game on Saturday.
My wife, Leanne, made such a great comment. She's like, oh, this is so great. It's a noon game you'll be able to watch before you go do Atlanta United on Saturday. And then she goes, wait a minute. You're going to be a nervous wreck. Like, I was cussing at the TV when that Wisconsin kid hit the fake punt on the first drive of the game. I'm like, the season's over. This is going to keep us out of the playoffs. I'm just a nervous wreck right now. Because the longer this goes, where they stay undefeated, the more my hopes are going to go up.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, right. That's what
happens. The more
that's
my
happened.
Hopes are going to go up.
Yeah. That's the fun
and
part.
No, it's not fun.
That's how it's supposed to be, right?
It's a darn stressful.
That's the fun part.
If we get to, you know, December whatever and we're in the Big Ten championship game undefeated playing for a first round bye, I might be in the coronary unit up at Piedmont by then because it's just going to be too much. But I do feel bad for Aller. I hope he can play on Saturday. I thought it was a little bit of a hip drop tackle that knocked him out, which I didn't like. Bo Prabula, the backup, played really well on Saturday, but you're going up against Ohio State now. And I think Aller right now is kind of on the borderline of being in the discussion of being in New York. You don't really get the invitation to New York until you get to November.
Right.
That's where you clinch it. And right now, I still think the Heisman's kind of wide open. Mm. And if you look at Aller's numbers, and then if he can play in November, the opponents he will play, starting with Ohio State, I think he does have a runway to maybe getting himself to New York. Winning the Heisman, probably not. But getting there, I think that's an absolute possibility. He's been really good.
There's 79 more games, Mike. 79 more Hawks games.
Yeah.
But that's the three.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Not bad. The two home games they should have won. A little too close for comfort maybe on both. Got a little loosey-goosey finishing out that Nets game on Wednesday. I'll admit I was doing Atlanta United on Friday and didn't have like a really sharp eye on that game other than I noticed that the ball kid.
Yeah, LaMelo Ball
who always went crazy kills him. From the three-point
always
line.
Always kills him.
Almost called him Lonzo for a second. LaMelo making 9 three-pointers. The one thing that stands out to me, based on what we have seen so far, guys, Dyson Daniels and Onyeka Okongwu, if they provide the offensive output that they provided in the two home games, particularly in game one, like if Okongwu and Daniels are both going to give you double-figure scoring, the Hawks are going to be a really difficult team to beat this year, I think, because those are two players, particularly Daniels. I don't think you were really counting on much offensive output from him. You were looking at him to be a defensive stopper, get you a bunch of steals. Going into last night, he was leading the league in steals, very small sample size, but that's what you were expecting from Daniels, not expecting 16 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, is very, very promising. I liked getting Risa Shea in the starting lineup last night.
Yeah, me too.
I like that lineup.
Yep.
By the way, and I know the Hawks lost by 24. If you watch that game, I know a lot of people probably didn't because of all the football going on. The Hawks had a fourth quarter lead in that game. They led for long stretches of the game. They completely collapsed with about 8 minutes to play. But that lineup with Risashe in the starting lineup was giving Oklahoma City, a team that a lot of people expect to be in the NBA Finals this year, all kinds of problems. Got out to a 10-point lead on them, as a matter of fact. I like Risashe at the three. I like him in his starting role as a three. And quite frankly, I think DeAndre Hunter benefits from maybe some easier matchups coming off the bench. We saw that at times last year. Let's see if this becomes a thing or if DeAndre gets back quickly and it's not a thing at this point. But I liked what I saw last night.
What is DeAndre dealing with? Because he played the first couple of games. He played okay. I mean, not great.
He was good on Friday.
Okay. Yeah.
He was really good on Friday. I think he had 24 points on Friday. Sore knee. Is what the Hawks
That's
say.
That's common. That's what his injury has been often, is a sore knee. Look, I like getting Risashe in the starting lineup. What happened last night in the final 8 minutes of that game was Oklahoma City
going into Terminator mode.
Put the foot on the gas and said, all right, let's get SGA back in here.
Yeah.
Let's get Chet Holmgren isolated.
Yep.
And they
did a great job.
They killed him. They're really, really good. They're probably going to be the one seed in the Western Conference again. They might win 60 games this year. Oklahoma's very good. I thought Atlanta United played hard on
Me
Friday.
Too.
I mean, obviously that was a tough spot. 3 games in 6 days. Miami's very good. I thought they went down there and played admirably. Obviously didn't get the win, but now they've got a chance on Saturday to do so.
So Suarez scores in the first 90 seconds, and I said right after, oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
You knew this would be a tough game. You don't necessarily need to win to stay alive because of the format, but you don't want to get humiliated and have any kind of mental edge go to Miami going into game two on Saturday. Boy, they did not get humiliated. They played incredibly bravely. Look, Brad Guzan was out of his mind. Winning tackles 30 yards off his line against Lionel Messi. I mean, say no more than that. Terrific performance by Brad Guzan. As Tata Martino said after the game, Miami probably wins easily if not for Brad. Atlanta United, they got the moment of brilliance with Amador Desaba in the 39th minute, and that put Miami under a lot of pressure. Because really, Atlanta, all you're trying to do really is get that game to penalties and steal it.
Right.
You know, you're in open play against Miami with the exhaustion that Atlanta United was going through, and then two starters going out in the first half. Pretty tall order to beat Miami straight up in open play. You're trying to get that thing to penalties and steal it. And you almost did. Brad almost got them to that point. There were moments in the second half where it was like so hard to watch because Atlanta United could start to get out on the counter a little bit. They'd force a turnover. And they'd get up to like the halfway line, and then everyone would just kind of stop because there were just no legs. They were completely out of gas. So hopefully they can replenish this week. I think they're going to be very, very competitive at the Benz Saturday night. If you missed the announcement at 10 a.m., they are going to open up the 300 level now.
Good.
If you're a season ticket holder, you can get in touch with the club. Arthur Blank will pay for two tickets for a friend or a family member. This is for season ticket holders. So I think for the first 5,000, Arthur's got you.
Oh, sweet.
Pretty cool deal there.
That is a cool deal.
He got
pretty
it.
Cool deal. I think it'll be a great atmosphere. The key is, guys, can Lennon play and can Gregerson play? Because Atlanta United's entire right flank was blown apart within 30 minutes on Friday because Ronald Hernandez woke up sick and then Brooks got hurt with the dislocated shoulder. The initial indication I got on Brooks, and I don't think the club has announced anything yet, but the initial indication I got on Brooks Friday night was that maybe it wasn't as bad as first feared. So cross your fingers. Maybe there's a miracle and Brooks can play on Saturday.
Man, put a harness on that thing. You'd be all right.
A harness? You don't see that too often.
A harness on it.
Everyone's like a pass rusher every once in a while. Have like that machine, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if that's legal.
Well, real quick, while we got you, Falcons, they did win.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
They did win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is everyone so bothered about how they played yesterday?
They won.
Tampa's good. You beat them on the road.
They won the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
Probably the way that it ended, you know what I mean? Just some sloppiness and kind of like I think that's if there's a reason, that's probably why.
I don't know. Maybe I'm giving Tampa too much credit. I'm looking at the quality of opponent.
Yeah,
that's
good.
A good team you beat on the road.
Definitely.
I'm totally fine with it. I thought start to finish, their best offensive performance of the year. because of the balance. And I know the numbers were a little more gaudy when Cousins threw for 500 yards against Tampa in the home game, but that was an unbalanced performance. You had more balance. And outside of Koo missing the field goal at the end, special teams. The play of that game was stopping that fake punt in the Tampa side of the field. Very well done. Very alert by the Falcons special team. So I'm great with it. And you've got a chance now. You've got Dallas kind of limping in here on Sunday. Good chance to get to 6-3. You can basically end any hope in the division for anyone else the following week when you play New Orleans. Like, you could get to the bye here feeling pretty darn good with maybe even a little bit of house money in your wallet here, because there are going to be some tough games at the end. Minnesota road certainly stands out as one. But, no, I was very pleased with the Falcons' performance yesterday. I'm really shocked, honestly, at some of the negativity that's out there about, well, they still aren't very good. No, I mean, I don't think they're great. I don't think they're elite right now.
Yeah.
But how can you say they're not good?
I don't know how many teams I feel like are elite right now, and I feel like there's probably only one in the NFC.
And that team in the NFC, maybe. The other team that stands out is a team that if you had not gotten a bad pass interference call, you probably would have beat in your home stadium.
Yeah, so. And the team that I'm talking about in the NFC, the one loss they have is to Tampa.
Correct.
Who Atlanta's beaten twice.
Yeah.
So,
what does
that tell you? It's, you know, pretty bunched up at the top, I feel like. Mike, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Mike.
Yeah, good seeing you.